Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. It's that time of day. It's Saturday morning, and here we go. You know, people say to me sometimes this show is complicated, and they have to listen again and again and again. Well, then mission accomplished, because that's what I want you to do. Because let me tell you, it's complicated. Complicated is when you drink the Kool-Aid and you take the easy way out and it doesn't work, and you spend 10 years spinning around in circles thinking that the simple approach, and I'm going to include today the holistic approach. Sometimes you think dropping that herb into your body's going to cut it, and it doesn't. It doesn't. Very, very often it doesn't. But that's a better choice than the allopathic model, which is going to kill you. So take your choice. Kill yourself with the allopathic model. Today's going to be a perfect example of it. Or look for that simple herb that's going to solve all your problems. Both are panaceas. Neither one of them work. And what you do is you continually tell yourself, if you're in the holistic model, that this is the way to go. But you fall into the same kind of a problem because you don't want to really take the time to understand how your body works. I hope I've drilled that one into you enough over this last year. And irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, gastritis, heartburn are classic examples of the public failing with, one, the allopathic model, and very often with the herbal model, because you don't take the time to understand. You know, IBS is the number two cause of job absenteeism. 200 years ago on the farm, it did not even exist. Now I'm going to make an appeal, as I always do, to your common sense. If we didn't have something 200 years ago and it exists today, how can it be outside anything other than that the environment has changed? So why are we medicating then for this extremely troublesome, often debilitating, even life-threatening condition? And I mean, if you've been told you've got IBS, or you've got Crohn's, or you've got ulcerative colitis, even chronic gastritis, any of these things that represent inflammation within the gastrointestinal tract, this show is for you. But what you have to do is listen to it once or twice, or three times or five times, until you understand what's going on, and then you're going to sit there, and hopefully the dawn of light, okay, will change your perception of the process, and you'll get an easy, quick answer. And I mean 6 months of work. A little anatomy and physiology. Again, we're talking about IBS. Again, IBS is irritable bowel syndrome. When you get this, or you think you get it, and how do you wonder if you've got it? Everything you eat, it bloats you, it gives you gas, you get diarrhea, you get constipation. These people spend years of their life every morning on the toilet for an hour. Some people spend 3-4 hours a day on the toilet. And this goes on and on and on and on and on. We term this IBS. If it's a little worse, we call it Crohn's. If it's a little worse, it's ulcerative colitis, or if it's in a different part of your body. And we'll get into that today. But the point is, the inside of your intestines is rubbed raw. Raw, dry, hot, and inflamed. And that's not the way the inside of your intestines is supposed to be. The inside of your esophagus, of your stomach, of your small intestine, of your large intestine. The small intestine is the first part, the duodenum, the second part, the ileum, the second part, the jejunum, the third part, the ileum. And the large intestine is on your lower right side. So take your hand and put it on your lower right-hand side, the lower right quadrant, just above the groin. That's your cecum. That's the place where the 35 feet of small intestine connect to your large intestine. That's the cecum of the large intestine. And if you move up towards your right rib cage, that is the ascending colon. If you go across your belly, right, just below the sternum or just across your solar plexus, that's the transverse colon. And then if you go down the left side below the ribs, that's your descending colon, and then it cuts back towards your buttocks, towards the sigmoid colon, into the rectum, out the anus. That's 40 feet generally of intestine. That intestine, small and large, is supposed to be filled with clean, fresh mucus. It's supposed to have a flow to it, meaning it's not supposed to move and contract so fast that it looks like it's in a convulsion, but it's supposed to flow. It's kind of like a caterpillar. It's kind of like a snake. And we call that caterpillar snake-like motion of the intestines peristalsis. The rate of peristalsis is critical to health within the intestinal tract. What's health within the intestinal tract? Health is you eat it, you swallow it, it disappears in your stomach quickly, it moves on down the 35, 40 feet of tubing, and you feel like it disappears really fast. There's no gas, there's no bloating, it tastes good, you can feel it energize your body, and then the next morning or twice a day or three times a day, you have a good, solid, formed stool. That's good digestion. Do you have that? If you've got any of these things, from IBS down to Crohn's to ulcerative colitis, then the inside of your digestive tract, for whatever reasons, and we're going to get into that, is hot, it's dry, it's inflamed, it's contracting way too fast, and then it's not contracting at all. So you're alternating between diarrhea and constipation, diarrhea and constipation. This is a ludicrous situation. It's ludicrous. To walk into drugstores today, go ahead. Test my little statement here. Walk into a drugstore and look at the first three to even four rows in the drugstore. They're all anti or they're all digestive aids. Stuff to give you a bowel movement. Stuff to stop you from a bowel movement. Stuff to make your heartburn go away. The list is on and on. Each year they add another row. And then, of course, that's the drugstore. Then there's what you have to get a prescription for. There's what you have to see your medical doctor for. And that gets even worse, and we're going to talk about the implications of doing this the wrong way, which is, in this case, the allopathic way. I consider myself a balanced doctor. I don't tell people to stay away from medical doctors. I do not tell people to never do a surgery. We're blessed that medical doctors dispense with pharmaceuticals when it's required and necessary, and when they do surgery, it's required and necessary. And I'm going to keep saying that even though I'm repeating myself, because it's important to drill it into your head. But the bottom line is, when you get something like IBS, the number two cause of absenteeism from work in America today that didn't even exist a couple hundred years ago. Oh, well, maybe it existed and we just didn't know about it. That is stupidity. People knew if they had to sit in an outhouse 2 hours in the morning. They knew that 200 years ago. Doctors were not talking about it. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And sometimes there are these stupid reports, and it's appropriate to use the word stupid to talk about what we thought didn't happen 200 years ago, but actually did. We know where those reports come from? Industry. That's right. We industrialized in this country in the 1700s. By the 1800s, lots of people were being poisoned to death in factories. If you walked into those factories, have you ever heard of the Mad Hatter? The Mad Hatter. That was poisoning that men got from using chemicals when they made hats. I believe it was lead. And that's the point. In the factories where people had chemicals from 1700 on, we saw cancers and we saw other sorts of deteriorations in the body. But out on the farm, where in the 1700s, 90%, 80% of the population was, you didn't see this. So we can say in the 1850s, at the turn of the century in America, usually you did not see IBS. And yes, if it had been that prevalent, we would have noted it. So let's get that one straight too. And that's important because if it wasn't around 150 years ago, it must have changed the environment. Something in our food must have changed. So let me ask you then, why are we medicating this allopathically and psychotically? Why are we doing that? Onward. So, you've got the inside of the gastrointestinal tract, from the esophagus into the stomach, into the small intestine, into the large intestine, and the inner skin of the gastrointestinal tract regenerates. That skin regenerates. The inside of the GI tract, like your skin, like the skin that you itch, regenerates itself. It's highly regenerative. In addition to which, you've got 90% of your immune system there. Now that's a hint. When 90% of your immune system lives in your GI tract, it tells you that that immune system is there to cover the potentially infectious terrain. So you got to remember that one. You know, in neuroanatomy, we call the GI tract the second brain. Now, I want to get into this for a little while. We call this the second brain. Why is that? Why would we call your rectum the second brain? Why would we call your large intestine part of a system that in neuroanatomy we term the second brain? Because if we go in there to your small intestine, to your large intestine, to your anus, and we dissect out and we study the histology, the neuroanatomy, meaning the extensions of your brain into your intestinal tract are so sophisticated that we call it the second brain. What you think, your emotional you, your psycho-spiritual you, is vested in the nerve supply to the intestinal tract. That's a massive statement. You're not going to hear that from your MD. You won't even hear that from most of your holistic practitioners. You know where you hear that from? Your scientists. That word, the neurology into the gastrointestinal tract, derives itself from neuroanatomy. This is hard science. This is not holistic science. This is not made-up science. This is not somebody's perspective. Google it up yourself. Google to the rescue. Always. The second brain. So it thinks. So it's got its own mind. And it's in serious relationship with the mind you call the one on top of your neck. And what does that mean? When the thoughts go negative, when you hold emotion in your body, when the inside you, not the face you show at church on Sunday, the inside you, the you when you're at home alone with your husband or your wife and it's late at night and you can say and do and think whatever you want. That you that exists in your dreams, where nobody, even your significant other, can't know you. That you. That you and whatever that you looks like is sending nerve impulses from the brain down into your second brain. Do you think this could possibly factor in to IBS? Do you think that psyche could be part of this? Well, of course we do. That's not new. Doctors know that. So to do that, we give you Prozac, one of the standard choices if you have ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, irritable bowel syndrome. And yes, doctors today are realizing that stress could play possibly a role in the advent and increase of IBS, etc. We give you Prozac. We give you Zoloft. We give you Paxil. We make you dumb and numb. And then we ask you to drink the Kool-Aid and buy into it. And when you say, gee, my IBS is a little bit better, everybody claps, we give everybody awards, and we all go home happy, except it doesn't work. It mitigates symptoms. And that's not what you're looking for. Tell your friends this. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. You'll need to listen to this show again, especially with what I've got coming down.